Grace and peace to you on this week in time, and a blessed Thanksgiving with your family, friends, or wherever you are on this day as we dive into Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. Luke 21, 25 through 36. And we are beginning Advent this upcoming weekend. So this is the text that launches this Advent season, a season where we look into the heart of God and what God is going to do in this one who will be sent, our Lord Jesus. And so the text we begin with, verse 25, and these are signs of things that are going to happen, the lesson of a fig tree, and then the exhortation to stay watchful. And so here we go. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon you and all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Every day he was teaching in the temple. And at night he would go out and spend the night on the Mount of Olives, as it was called. And all the people would get up early in the morning to listen to him in the temple. A great section here for us to hold on to. The coming of the Son of Man, the lesson of the fig tree, and the exhortation to watch. I love the beginning verses. Again, we hear of the end times or the things that are to come, and Hollywood has made billions of dollars off the production of films that show the end times, the end of things, to which I have always said the end times are always happening. Each moment life is passing away, and each moment life is being birthed. It's both and, it's not either or, and we need to pay attention to that. But when Hollywood and others are pointing to the end of times, I want to point out here in this text, in verse 28, he said, now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because what? Your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption is drawing near. You're being redeemed. You are being raised up. You are being made whole and well, in the words of Christ. Your redemption is upon you. Well, I had a New Testament professor, his name, Mark Allen Powell, and I loved his class on the Gospels, because he gave this dramatic reading and story of how he fully expects every time there's a cloud in the sky, when he walks outside, that he expects that Jesus is on that cloud, no matter the kind of cloud that it looks like, a fluffy, nice cotton candy cloud, the pinks, the yellows, the oranges, whatever it is, even the storm cloud. That he fully expects that Jesus will return, because it's part of Jesus' promise. He's going to return. And so he looks for that. He anticipates it. He said that's actually a good way to live, because it adds urgency to each day. It gets you out of bed. It gets you moving. It gets you living by faith, if you will. But to anticipate, you got to do this because something bad's going to happen. Where did that get in the water? Why is that the primary emphasis? Here in the Gospel of Luke, when these things take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. God is returning to bless you, to redeem you, to raise you. These are gifts that are given. And that lesson of the fig tree seems so simple, right? We hear this, and Jesus is simply saying, you know, duh, when the leaves are coming, when the fruit's coming on the tree, you know the season that it is, and you don't need to read much more into that. It's just, this is the season. We say now is the time. This is the place. God is doing a new thing. And then the exhortation to watch, to be on guard, so that we're not weighed down by the things of the world. Those are traps that are set for us, but we get to live, be alert, pray, and stand before this Jesus. And I love it that they include in those short verses at the end of Jesus' teaching that people were hungry for more of him. They weren't running away. They were drawn in. They wanted God's story written on their hearts. And I'm always inspired when I see that, because I think there's more life there. There's more hope and joy there, those themes that we celebrate in Advent. Well, as we begin our journey in Advent again this year, this text reminds us that this Son of Man will come into the world, and that this Son of Man will be felt throughout the entire cosmos, the whole thing. And as the world shakes, it's not a time for fear, but it's rather a moment of what we would say unmerited grace. Yes, grace will come again. And just as we know how to watch the seasons change, you're probably cleaning some Thanksgiving dishes today. And if you haven't already done it and ordered your stuff, it might not be here in time for Christmas, but you're making preparations for another season. You are always looking ahead. Some are even looking into the new year. Some of us have already planned things for 3/4 of the way through the next year or 5 years from now. We always know the next season is upon us. We prepare for it. So it's as if we see signs, we know that the kingdom of God is near. There are signs and symbols of Jesus' activity, of God activity in the world. And Jesus wants us to hold on to those, to point to those as signs of life, as signs of grace. You know, we're not given an exact time or date of when this is going to be. We're just simply cautioned, hey, be ready. Who doesn't want to be ready to meet Christ or to see full life in Christ? We want to prepare for that day, for that time, for that moment. And as I've said in worship, we want to redeem that time and redeem that gift when that gift is before us. You know, we're not always to be caught up in the midst of everything in the world around us. So much of that gets all of our attention, and Jesus and God's story of life can be put on the back burner. It can be the afterthought rather than the forethought. We want to pay attention to that, the expectance, that the eager hunger and eager waiting for the coming of the Son of God, that it could arrive today. Because I think it does. There's glimpses of grace all the time. And so the Son of Man coming on the clouds is a vision that we point to. But it's not always going to be like that fairy tale or that cartoon. We don't even know what it will really look like. But we can still stir an imagination and hope for what it can and will be. Perhaps it'll be on a storm cloud, because the world often feels stormy. And Jesus talks about a stormy world. Jesus talks about stormy relationships. Jesus talks about just tumultuous ups and downs of life. Jesus talks about persecution. Jesus talks about suffering. So if Jesus were to return on a storm cloud, it would not surprise me, because Jesus has promised to enter the storm. And I would say to you today, Jesus promises to enter your storm. Jesus could come on a cloud that, again, is whimsical and beautiful and dances in beauty and splendor before us, because Jesus so often does that. He points to abundant hope and abundant life. He points to joy unmeasured. And if Jesus were to arrive on that kind of cloud, who among us would not just smile and say, oh yeah, that's so God. I can see God doing that. However it is that we meet Jesus, Jesus promises that life and that moment of grace, that we'll be caught up in that. And so Advent, we say, prepare. Get prepared for it. Do something to show that you're making preparations. I know each day as we sit down to eat a meal at our dinner table, I'm reminded how there we're entertaining angels unaware, right? You've heard that phrase. We're entertaining Christ because Christ gathers with us at table. As we break bread together and we share in stories, God is in the midst of that story. Even if there's a family argument that breaks out at the table, Christ is there engaging us in that argument. So instead of pushing God to the fringe here, the beginning of Advent is a great time to consider how we draw more into God's story and more into what God is doing. So take some time to think about the times in your life that have been formative for you, where you've learned a lot about yourself and about life, where you've learned about God. And if you're really honest, you've probably reflected on times that have involved pain and struggle. That's a common theme. As human beings, we often fear the unknown and the uncertain. And when storms rage in our life, I think it's natural for us to become afraid, to fear, to look down and to look inward. But Jesus calls us always to look up and out, to be watchful and expectant to the new life. That is gift. New life will happen. New hope will happen. And as the Jesus community, we're called to bring the message of faith and hope into the world, to be the messengers of good news, the feet who bring good news. Having hope in the midst of struggle is an unnatural thing often, but we're called to lead with it, to be that unnatural part of a creation that needs that natural way of being, that hope can be there and hope can emerge. And so we got to ground ourselves in deep life-giving relationships and in a story that forms and shapes our outlook for life, our relationships, and our connection to God. We're called to build relationship with God and with each other, to hold each other in the story of this new thing that God is doing. And so what do we testify to today? How do we look for God? How are we preparing ourselves, our faith in this world, to know more of God's story? And I'll leave you with this. What does it mean to live so that we're always expecting and prepared? And whom do you go to receive support, encouragement, and accountability when you face difficult times? Is Jesus part of that conversation? Are those folks you gather with pointing to the new life again that he offers? We can hope for that, we can pray for that, and we can bring that to the table with all that we do and all that we are. When we ask the question, are you ready? Are you ready? I think we can say, yes, Lord. We are ready always for more of you. All right, folks, stay thirsty, my friends.